The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. It is that time again. Welcome back to Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me today, James Collins. Now, he's a person that we hear on the program Watchmen on the Wall. James, great to have you with us.
Mike, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to visit with you and your listeners today.
It is so wonderful to get to talk to people that are on our programs. And Watchmen on the Wall, it's been with us now for several months, maybe close to a year. And I always enjoy, you're not the only voice on there, but one of the main voices. Your title with Southwest Radio Ministry is Staff Evangelist. And I know that just by sheer definition of that name, you are one that loves to tell the greatest story ever told, right?
Amen. You know, it's the thrill of my soul to see people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an intensive background in evangelism ministry, and when the position came open here, long story short, I was actually a seminary student of Dr. Larry Spargimino, who is the host of The Watchman on the Wall, 20-some-odd years ago, and he knew my heart, my passion to see people one to Christ, and when this position came open, I got the call and was so blessed to be called here.
Wow. Now, you're from the Oklahoma area. That's where you're calling
in
from today.
I am, actually, yes. I grew up in Oklahoma, and God called me to ministry, and I was in the military when God called me to ministry. I was in the Army, and I got out for a little bit, went to seminary, and after I finished seminary, I came back into the service as an Army chaplain and traveled all around the world, like you said, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with soldiers and their families, as I ministered to them, you know, at home and abroad in deployment. I spent a couple of tours in Iraq, and God really blessed that ministry. One year when I was in Iraq, you know, Mike, there's an old saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Mm-hmm. One year when I was in Iraq, I baptized 99 American GIs, and it was an incredible time. Every time that I spoke, someone made a profession for Jesus Christ. And again, someone would say, well, that's because there were bullets and bombs and things coming in at us. And that may be true, but if God used that,
that's right.
God can use that. And I don't know that those were foxhole professions in the sense that they were not sincere, because most of those people I've kept in touch with through the years, and they're still living for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, it really, that's up to God, isn't it? I mean, our job is not to know the heart of what's going on in the person who receives the Lord, but that's God's business. But I'm grateful for those that proclaim the good news like what you're doing. And as a chaplain, how long did you serve as a chaplain?
I did about 25 total years of service as a chaplain. I was in about 15, 17 years or so.
Wow. With the military, and not only Iraq, but you said throughout other parts too? Of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Traveled around, saw some different places, yes.
That's wonderful, James. Thank you for your service. Chuck Williams, a guy that I know originally from this area in Florida, was a chaplain as well. He, like you, spent time in the military, in the Army before, and then re-enlisted as a chaplain. And did all of that. And so his story, I'm sure if you two guys got together, you'd be able to trade some wonderful experiences.
We probably chewed some of the same dirt.
Amazing. James, tell us how you came to know the Lord in the beginning, even before that Army experience of being called into ministry.
Well, you know, I was in love with my wife, Amanda. We had been dating for several years, and back even further than that, I was raised by godly parents, but my mom died when I was very young. When I was 10 years old, my mom died, and I was mad at God. I was never an atheist. I never denied that God existed. I was just mad at him for a long time, and I didn't want to have anything to do with him. And I certainly wasn't living for the Lord. And anyway, met my wife, fell in love with her, and asked her to marry me. And she said, you know, I would love to marry you, but I want to get some Christian marriage counseling first. I want to be sure that you're good with Jesus. I said, oh, you know, I love Jesus. But, you know, the truth was, if Jesus would have come up and slapped me in the face like one of those Three Stooges things, I wouldn't have known who he was. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so lost and so far away from the Lord. And anyway, we had Christian marital counseling, and a young James Collins met with an elderly man of God, a pastor, who sat down, and he looked at me, and he seemed to see through all the lies, all the mess that I was pushing, and saw right into my soul almost. It felt like he really was peering into my soul, and he laid the gospel out like nobody had ever laid the gospel out before. And I remember getting up from that table in that restaurant where we were having that Christian counseling. I was changed, and I never got over the head-on experience, the head-on collision that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've still never gotten over that. And again, the thrill of my soul is to see other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it really had to do with my wife. We wanted to get married, and that pastor laid the gospel out for me, and I surrendered. And then later, God called me to ministry, and like I said, I've been blessed by him to be able to take the saving gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, and you're coming to the Lord in a restaurant and hearing that gospel, it stuck, and that's what's important. I know your wife was very excited about that.
Oh, amen. And, you know, I tell people she's a better Christian than me. She always has been. Now, if you want someone to pray for you, she is a strong, strong prayer warrior, and I knew that she had been if she ever starts praying for you, you just might as well forget it. God's going to get involved with it.
That's wonderful. I love it when our wives are praying people. My wife is that way. So thankful for it. I know I can always count on her prayers, as can you, and what a blessing that is. Tell us a little bit about Watchman on the Wall Ministry.
Well, you know, Watchman on the Wall is a program that has been on the air since 1933. The program was started back in 1933 by Dr. E.F. Weber, who was a pastor in Oklahoma City. And he had a church and got some radio time on a major AM radio station here in Oklahoma City. Back then, that was all there was, AM radio. And he got on AM radio station that was, I don't know if you remember, those old-time AM radio stations would just kind of go and go and go. And he ended up getting a big audience just from that one signal, and the program grew, and he ended up eventually being on eight major massive AM radio stations like that, and they called him for a while. I understand they called him America's radio pastor, and he actually was as popular, competed with the Grand Ole Opry, the old radio show,
in popularity.
People would pull over their car when they were driving down the road, and he came on and stopped and listened to Dr. Weber's Southwest Radio Church. He called the program Southwest Radio Church because he felt it was an extension of his local congregation, his church ministry. And then, of course, from there, his son David Weber ran the ministry in the 70s and 80s. Noah Hutchings came along. He is a very very well-known, very popular man of God. And then for the last 25 years, Dr. Larry Spargimino has been the host, and I came on last year as the co-host. All that time, we have been proclaiming the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Weber was fascinated with Bible prophecy, wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation back in the 1930s, and in that commentary, he wrote, "I don't understand it, but someday Israel will be back in the land. There will be a nation of Israel again." And then I was reading some of his writings after that where he said, wow, look here, 1948, the super sign. Look at what happened. Israel is back in the land.
Right.
and we are living in the last days. People always say to me, you know, wouldn't it be exciting to have lived back in Bible times? And I look at them and I say, man, we are living in Bible times.
That's well said.
Prophecies are coming true. They're being fulfilled day by day.
You know, I could not agree more with that. These are exciting times. I grew up in a church like what you're describing. Every Sunday night, the pastor at our church would be bringing some sort of message on eschatology or end times, the return of the Lord. And it seemed that it was so far away. But now I was born in 53, just a few years, 5 years after Israel became that nation, after that amazing event. But for somebody like Dr. Weber, who was preaching prior to that and talking about it, yet seeing in the Word of God that this is going to happen, but then before his very eyes, it happens. That had to be an amazing thing for him.
I think it was. All the books, all the things that I've read about Dr. Weber, he was so blessed to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled, and that, again, was his emphasis. And I think that's one of the unique things about our program. I mean, we are a gospel-centered program. We share the gospel. We love to see people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach the Bible, but also our focus is on Bible prophecy. We want to teach and represent Bible prophecy. We have great Bible prophecy teachers on the program. I was thinking about, you were talking about the emphasis, the more focus on Bible prophecy. I think that really kind of took off in the 1970s. That's when I grew up in the 1970s, and I remember Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some old programs of Southwest Radio Ministries, of The Watchman on the Wall, with Hal Lindsey on the program back when that book was out. It was pretty incredible hearing him talking about that, from back in the 1970s, and how he was saying, hey, this stuff is happening now, and how even more so we're seeing it happen today.
You know, that is a very incredible point about your enduring legacy as a ministry. I mean, you began in 33, for our listeners, to put this into context, the very first organized radio news happened in 1920. So we're talking about just 13 years after the news starts to be developed and people, like you said, are listening to the radio. This is all prior to television being developed. That didn't come till the 50s. But here, radio is big, entertainers, the golden era, as it is called, of radio. And right there in the middle of that is Dr. Weber doing this ministry from Oklahoma that, like you said, is going out across the country, and people are hearing the gospel. People are hearing the message of the coming times, and they're being warned about it. And I think that probably plays a big role. And I don't know the exact history of your title, but to be a watchman on the wall is to be one who's on the lookout, who's up there and giving out that warning sound.
That was Dr. Weber's favorite verse was the Watchman on the Wall. That's why he called the program from Southwest Radio Church the Watchman on the Wall program. He wanted us to be watchmen. He wanted the program to be a program where we looked at the signs of the times, the things that were happening, and how that fit into Bible prophecy.
Wow. Well, he had it going on. Now, speaking of going on, there's something exciting in our area coming up next, in just after the turn of the year, down in the Lakeland area with Southwest Radio Bible Ministry here, the radio ministry of this great organization. It's coming to Florida. Tell us about that.
We're excited. It's the Central Florida Prophecy Conference. It's going to be at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida. And we're looking forward to that. It'll be Friday and Saturday, January the 28th and the 29th. There's information on that at our website, swrc.com, if you would like to attend this great Central Florida Prophecy Conference. Bill Federer, America's premier historian, will be speaking. Ken Lindau, Dr. Larry Spargimino, Greg Patton, We'll be talking about the invisible war on the saints, some spiritual warfare stuff. And one of the most brilliant messianic Bible scholars today, Larry Stamm, will be speaking. He has just produced a book called The Jewish Roots of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. He'll be talking about that. And it's going to be a great time in the Lord. I'm going to be there. I'm going to speak. I'm going to be talking about the rapture of the church. And also, I have a new book coming out next month. It's actually, I saw a proof of it just this last week. It's in the final editing stage. It's called The 12, and it's a collection of essays, stories, teachings about the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. So I'll be speaking on that as well.
Oh, that's great.
So we're looking forward to that.
Will that book be out by the time you're here?
Yes, it will.
Oh, that's exciting. Now, I'm hoping that you guys can find some time for a trip into Orlando. I would love to have you guys come up here.
We would love to do that. We'd love to be on the program with you live and in person instead of on the phone. That'd be
great. Oh, that'd be great. And bring Larry if you can and come back up. And we'll have a good chat, man. This is exciting.
Yes, it is. And again, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be two great days of Bible prophecy and fellowship. Of course, you know, this is an all-star lineup of speakers and teachers, and you'll be certainly blessed by that. I don't know how I got in there, Mike, but, you know, even a broke clock is right twice a day.
That's funny. Well, I know how, because I enjoy your presentations on the program, James. And, you know, I my ears perked up when I heard your title the first time I ever heard you, Staff Evangelist. And I think that is a really important position right there. To be called that, that means that this guy is an equipping evangelist without a doubt, somebody who's not only going to be proclaiming himself, but probably affecting others to do the same. And that's what I'm just thinking you must be doing.
Well, I certainly pray that, and I certainly hope so. You know, it's difficult for me to turn that off, that passion about Jesus Christ that I have inside of me. It's difficult to turn that off. I don't want to be irritating to people, but, you know, even at a restaurant with my wife, I'll ask the waitress if I can pray for her, and I'll leave a gospel track. You know, it's like a fire in my bones.
Oh, that's such an important thing. And I'm always inspired when I'm hearing stories like this. And I know there is probably some natural embarrassment that some people feel when they're around a guy who's got that fire in his bones. But deep down, I'm convinced that they're wishing, man, I wish I had that kind of fire in my bones. And I think all of us, if we're honest, will say that. We love being around people who are just bold and relentless for the cause of Christ. I just want to say thank you for doing that.
Well, it's my honor to serve the Lord.
James Collins is my guest today, staff evangelist on Southwest Radio Church, and it is so great to have him on. They come on the Shepherd Radio Network, and it's so wonderful to have this organization with us. We'll be talking more with James coming up in a moment. We're up against a break. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Thanks for being with us today on the program, Afternoons with Mike. My guest today, James Collins, staff evangelist with Southwest Radio Church, and that's out of Oklahoma. They're on the Shepherd Radio Network every day. Love this group, and they are, at the times I've talked to James, I just really mean it when I say I can tell your heart for the Lord even over the phone. So I'm looking forward to maybe sharing a cup of coffee when you're here next month. And I really do invite you guys to come up to the studio and talk about the conference, and not only about the conference that you're having there, but more importantly, talking about the things that are going on. Now, James, there, you know, you were talking about Dr. Weber looking and viewing the events of the world as Israel was going through those momentous months in 1948 and would once again become a nation, and how that had to be for him such an amazing thing. But I so agree with what you said. We today are living in times where there are some pretty important things happening. And we're, even if we don't realize it, we're seeing certain things. There's a hinge, a door on a hinge that's turning right now, without a doubt. And I know that you had mentioned to me before we began this program about COVID and its role. Tell us about that.
Well, COVID-19, of course, has dominated the headlines for the last 2 years. And, you know, Mike, as with any crisis, politicians have taken advantage of the COVID-19 situation to grab more power and more control.
Mm-hmm.
And when it originally started, we were shocked and surprised, I think, because we expect, you know, communist totalitarian governments like China to lock their people down. But it was a surprise to see similar lockdowns in the Western world. Countries such as Italy, Spain, and France announced nationwide lockdowns. They ordered all non-essential workers to stay home and shelter in place. We saw draconian restrictions when people could leave their homes and who they can interact with. And we still see that in major cities in the United States. And it's amazed me when police raid private residences to break up illegal parties. People were having church in their homes, and the police came and says, "You can't do this. It's against this COVID regulation." And
mm-hmm.
and so we see these government overreach. This governors telling people what businesses can and cannot be open. And it amazed me that the biggest target of the power-mad governors continued and will continue, I believe, to be churches.
Mm-hmm. Without
all over
a doubt.
The United States, we see governors who have issued these executive orders. I believe they violate the First Amendment to peaceably assemble and freely exercise religion. And you know, Mike, it's sad. I was talking with people the other day. Their church closed at the beginning of the pandemic, and their church still has yet to reopen. And I think that was the case with a lot of churches.
Well, I agree. And even those churches that have reopened, a good number of people are still not returning and choosing to watch. And I'm grateful for streaming. We do that in our church. But, you know, James, there is not a replacement for, you know, believers coming together, Christians who love the Lord, gathering together. We're even told in the Word of God to not neglect the assembling together. I mean, that's pretty direct, and we really can't make it in this way. I don't believe that's a sustaining or a good option that one can say, well, this is how I'm going to do it. I know that during the tent revival days, many people, they coined the term TV preachers and all of that, and I know there was a time that a lot of people believe that, but that was proven to not be a very effective congregation. When there's no accountability, there's no fellowship, and those are just important aspects of our life together.
You're exactly right, Mike. The I mean, you and I are both in media ministry, so I'm all for media ministry. I love live stream. I love television. I love radio, of course, but there's no substitute for the local church. You just
right.
don't get that fellowship. You don't grow in your faith as well as you do sitting in a room with other believers with an open Bible and just absorbing the Word of God, being taught, being led. You don't get that really from media church. From live stream, from television, from radio, which, I think all those things are very important, but there's nothing like the local church body of believers coming together. And again, I believe that we're seeing the move toward this one-world religion that is going to be the predominant or the religion during the tribulation period when the Antichrist rules in that seven-year period. We're seeing that. We're seeing conservative fundamental churches being taken away, and your more liberal type churches are you know, kind of still out there, kind of still doing. They're going along to get along. They don't want to rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll see more and more of that. My fear is that some of the persecution that I believe we'll see coming will come from within the church, from within these other denominations that want to get along and go along with the New World Order.
You know, I read a book a number of years ago by Randy Alcorn called Safely Home, and it was a novel. It was a fiction book, but it was based on biblical facts and stories and images from the Word of God. And in there, he talks about persecution that a man and his family had in China who were believers, and how that the underground church just would meet at the risk of their own lives and would have maybe one page of written scripture or printed scripture from a Bible that someone had torn out, and they would just hold on to that as the most precious gift, which it really is. And they would meet in the middle of the night under the cover of darkness. And, you know, we read about that, and it seems, well, that's something like you said earlier. You expect that in a communist country. But I don't believe, and I think a lot of people are still trying to get their brains around some of these realities of similar type of prohibitions for meeting. When I look at what's going on in Australia, it's just mind-boggling that this is happening in our world today. But believers are being sought out and being pointed out and singled out as being the recipients of some of the most awful things, and it's still going on in America today.
We are the target of the cancel culture. I mean, we are going to be canceled. If you take a public stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, any celebrity, any public figure who does so will be canceled. They'll be shamed on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we're seeing our freedoms, free speech, being taken away, and people are being blacklisted if you have an opposing view. And we see that more and more and more. And, of course, their ultimate agenda is to destroy those who they disagree with.
Right. It's their way or no way. And I always laugh. I'm always amazed at the choice that people who would be on the progressive side, they call themselves pro-choice people with regards to abortion and really other things as well. But that really has never been true. It's only their choice. And we have to realize that that is the mindset. And if we're expecting a fair game in right now in our country, we're not going to get it, and we're going to have to hold tight. I personally am very grateful for those that are serving in our nation's Congress right now who are standing up against the flow, and they're standing up faithfully. I think about where we would be today were it not for Joe Manchin. I'm praying for this man. I don't know this man, never met him in my life, but I want you to know I'm praying for him. But there are people that we need to realize that our liberties are wonderful liberties. We as Americans have enjoyed freedom to worship God all of our lives. Those that are alive today, really all of our lives, we have enjoyed this freedom on the backs of others who fought against not only just ideas, but they fought against countries that would, and they gave their lives often for it, that would have chosen to stamp out the very freedoms to worship Christ as we have had. But now today, we're seeing a real legitimate threat, and it's not just coming from without, it's coming from within. And that's something we have to be aware of.
And Mike, did you ever think that you would live in a country where the Word of God, Bible passages, are labeled and considered to be, quote, hate speech?
I know it,
quote.
Yeah.
I mean, and who decides what is hate speech? I mean, who decides? So we see, I think about big tech companies. I have been ostracized from social media for posting things from the Bible, things that were taken down off of Facebook, Twitter, those kind of things. Now, I think those things are important. They're great ways to share the gospel, and we have an active and robust social media platform here with Southwest Radio Ministries. But, you know, again, it's amazing to me that we're being censored. And I think as technology continues to advance, those platforms will become more and more important. So as a Bible preacher and teacher in the media, you just try getting your message out to a large audience without using Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, Amazon, YouTube. It's nearly impossible if you don't already have a major, large following. And I believe in the future it will be even more difficult, if not impossible. We're going to see all of the things that we see in the Bible coming to fruition when the Antichrist will control everything, now, buying and selling, and all media.
We know that's there. Now, the question would be, is this the beginning of those times, or is this a shadow of the beginning of those times, meaning they could still be years away? Of those two things and the likelihood, I know that none of us know for sure these things. But when you think about what's going on, what do you think is happening right now?
Well, I see the trend again for all these things happening, like the Word of God says. Now, no man knows the day or hour. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I do know what the Word of God says about these end times, and I believe that we're it's almost like someone's putting their foot on the accelerator. It's speeding up. It seems to be getting faster and faster, and we're seeing all of these things come together, sort of a convergence. Now, you know, 50 years ago, we could talk about, well, Israel's back in the land. That's pretty major. We could talk about, well, there's some communist governments out there. But now we're seeing these kind of totalitarian governments all over. We're seeing freedoms being eroded. We're seeing natural disasters, weather phenomenon like the Bible talks about. We're seeing, of course, Israel, the super sign of Israel being back in the land, society. And the degradation, the falling apart of society. We're seeing more and more of these things. We also see a trend, one quick sign, is a cashless society. I paid with cash with everything. I remember when I first joined the Army as a young man, they paid us in cash. We would report for pay, and they would count out our paycheck. And, now... most people don't carry cash. Most people don't even have cash, and we're seeing this trend toward a totally cashless society. I believe COVID even helped to push that, accelerate that even faster, because you had to buy everything online. You couldn't go to stores. You had to use digital currency. You had to use your credit card, and now we're seeing cryptocurrencies, and I think that paper currency will become obsolete eventually.
Well, this is certainly, like you said, the trend that we can see. And while I completely agree, no man can come up and say, yeah, this is it, and these are the beginning of days. No, we can't say that. No, we won't say that. But we sure can look, and that's exactly what the name of your ministry, the radio show, Watchmen on the Wall, implies, that there's a warning to be given out. And I believe every believer needs to be hearing that warning. These are times we need to pay attention. You know, Albert Mohler, in his last, the briefing of this year, which was on Friday the 17th of December, gave, I think, a great illustration, James. He talked about a tube of toothpaste, and he said sometimes we all know that when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, the toothpaste comes out. And he said sometimes you can squeeze it more than you intend, and you get more out than you wanted to get out. And there was a reason for that. It's because you were squeezing harder. And he said, but there have been times, he said, where you drop the toothpaste on the floor, and if you're, and in your efforts to reach for it, you step on it, and even more toothpaste comes out. And not only does it come out, but it gets all over everything. And that's the kind of thing that's happening right now. We're seeing that the world is being pressed, and there's pressure, and the stuff of the world, where people say, how can this be happening? How can such evil be coming out so quickly? It's because there's a lot of pressure to push this evil out on us right now. And we're facing that, aren't we?
You're absolutely right, and none of it should be a surprise to anyone who is familiar with the Word of God, because long ago, and the book of Revelation foretold the establishment of a global authoritarian regime. The Bible says a global dictator known as the Antichrist will one day rule every tribe, people, language, and nation. And this man, Antichrist, will have unprecedented power and control over the world population. And he will require everyone on the earth, the Bible says in Revelation 13, to take a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And without the mark, the people of the world will be unable to buy or sell anything. And we're seeing how this could take shape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how it'll actually happen remains to be seen. Again, I'm not a prophet, but we see the worldwide rush to create government-sponsored, government-sponsored, government-ran, government control over everything. And we're seeing all of these things come to fruition right before our eyes.
Boy, they are indeed, things like vax passports and even embedded chips that could be put in into the hand, like you said, where instead of taking a credit card and scanning the credit card, people could just scan their own hand. And so, yeah, we have the technology now for all of that. And to borrow that phrase from commercials back years ago, there's an app for that. And without a doubt, we're going to see more of that kind of talk come. We've got one more segment with James Collins, staff evangelist at Southwest Radio Ministries. Don't go away. Come back in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back on the phone with me today is James Collins from Southwest Radio Ministries. He is the staff evangelist, a co-host of this program that is on The Shepherd. And I love your clear teaching. You've got one of those voices, James, that really comes over clear. Your love for the Lord, it comes over as well. And it's really exciting to have people that, you know, you not only get to hear, but now hear with our program, we're getting to know you a little bit better and find out what it is, what's driving not only you, but this ministry and its history on the air since 1933. Wow, that's quite a legacy. And you know what you call your show, Watchmen on the Wall, which implies that there are people who are alert. I think of the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and they knew what to do. And that's really what you're saying that needs to be happening. There needs to be believers who are calling out and seeing some of the things that the scripture talks about. And I know that that's what you're doing, and I just want to say thank you for doing it.
Well, it's my honor, again, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate you saying that about my voice. I have been told I have a face for radio. That's why I didn't go into television. So I appreciate that.
Well, that's good. Now, I know that you guys are seeing some things, even from the book of Matthew, that really apply to what's going on today. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us what theologians call the Olivet Discourse, and he talks about trends or signs of the end times that will be before he returns. Now, again, we are a premillennial ministry. We believe that the rapture of the church, we're pre-trib, premillennial. We believe the rapture of the church will occur before this seven-year tribulation period. But Jesus gives us signs that will be evident, that will continue, that will happen during that tribulation. So we think the rapture could happen at any moment, but we also see things that Jesus talks about. For example, he says there'll be great earthquakes in diverse places. Did you know, Mike, there are 12,000 to 14,000 earthquakes per year in the last, 10 years or so?
No, it's amazing.
About 35 a day. Now, more often, we see or hear about these earthquakes that have caused great loss of life and misery. And it's funny, when we see these things on the news, the reporters call this a terrible act of God. It's an act of God, without realizing that it's God trying to get their attention. We also see Jesus said in that there be wars, rumors of wars. And nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now, if you study that out, he's talking about people groups. So even internal wars, internal conflicts, who would have thought America would be as divided as we are today? Mm-hmm. And you know, I was in the military. I served in the Army for over 25 years, and so I am familiar with war. In the last 100 years, our planet has experienced World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Arab-Israeli wars, the war in Bosnia, the Gulf War, Kosovo, Ireland, the war on terror, and so on and so on and so on. And this is one of the prominent signs of the end of the age, that there will be wars and continued wars, violence. Jesus said, as things were in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And one of the major aspects of what it was like in Noah's day was the earth was filled with violence. I mean, who would have thought, what you and I growing up, we would have never believed that we would see cities just being burned and looted and murder and rapes. And we have major cities in the United States that have more murders than we have had people killed in wars and conflicts. It's amazing to me.
And, you know, the amazing thing about that to me, James, is when I hear these stats, like coming from Chicago, or that incredible lunacy that was going on in Portland, I'm thinking, what has happened to the sane minds that are in that area? What are they doing? What those that see this, are they just being completely clamped down? But there needs to be people who stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this. This is not right. We're just not going to roll over and let you take over. But it seems like that's exactly what has happened in some of these scenarios.
Well, the Apostle Paul prophesied about the people in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and that they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And as we look at society today, we definitely see that being fulfilled. And for many people, that's one of the signs of the end times, that they're so involved in that they can't even discern any of the others. They're so involved with themselves, the lovers of pleasures, they don't even know, they don't even realize what we see happening right before our eyes.
I agree. You know, in England, that would be called a tick list, where you would put a tick by each of those things, the checkbox is what we would call it here. And that list that you've just given us, my goodness, every one of those things could receive a check or a tick, right? I mean, it's just there. It's like, okay, yep, that applies. Yep, that applies. It's crazy, isn't it? When we look and see that a lot of our leaders are just falling right in line with what a lot of faithful preachers for many, many decades have been declaring would happen. And just like I believe it was in the day when the New Testament was unfolding, I believe that there were those in that day, like Simeon, who was aware and had been given a promise, but had not seen it, and yet there it was happening right in front of them. They're playing the role of the part of history, and that's what's happening today.
I agree. We just can't get away from everything that has been going on. The economy. I mean, the economy's getting worse and worse. Did you know the economic problems are a sign of the last days? In James 5:3, the Bible says your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And we see that that people have, James goes on to say, they've heaped treasure together for the last days, and we see more and more problems in the economy. We'll see that to continue, I believe. We will see a continuance in disease. Jesus says that there will be, in Luke 21, Jesus said that there'll be distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and he talks about pestilences to come. And again, we've already talked about COVID-19. That's a crisis the government will not let go away, and so we look for more and more health mandates to continue as we speed toward the end of this age. I also believe drug addiction. We see more and more people that are totally looking for an out. They're trying to fill that God-shaped hole inside of them with all of these pleasures of the world. And drug addiction is, of course, one of the things we see. The word sorceries is translated from the Greek word pharmakia. That's where we get our English word pharmacy. When the Bible talks about sorceries at the end of the age, I think it's talking here about what we're seeing in society. We're seeing these drugs that are controlling people, making them dependent. And it's one of the, I think, least talked about signs of the end of the age, but I think it's very, very important.
It really is. You know, I've been going through the book of Second Chronicles and reading through the Kings and Chronicles. You realize that the things that we're facing today, well, a lot of these types of items, a lot of these types of events happened way, way back then. And this whole thing of evil and the surprise that government leaders could do what they're doing, man, this is a well-worn path. It's been done many times in history. And some of the, if you want to be shocked, go back and read the stories of some of these kings in Judah and in Israel, and you'll see that there's a purpose for it all, and they're playing their course, they're doing, but God is faithful, and God was faithful to them. And he's going to see us through. And in the time that remains, let's switch our focus now on not so much the things that are wrong. We know there are so many things that are happening, COVID, the response to it, etc. But there is great hope that in the middle of such a terrible, crazy time as this, that God is doing a calling out for people to come to him. It's a new revival. Tell us what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, you know, and I don't mean to be doom and gloom. Not all the things that we see at the end of the age are doom and gloom. I believe there'll be continued preaching of the good news and that there will be an end times revival if the Lord tarries. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." And I believe we talked about modern means of communication, and I believe that with modern means of communication, the internet, the availability of the message of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is rapidly spreading across this planet. My question, though, Mike, is will the people pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
Will they leave the pleasures and the busyness of their lives long enough to pay attention to it, to come to Christ, or to have revival?
I pray they choose the latter, and God would just do. We know that revivals are really God's doing, and we pray that he does exactly that, that he calls us, and that even though we don't deserve everything that we pray he would give us, we pray that his grace and mercy will go that way, and that we can see many people come to the Lord. And your meeting that's coming up in Lakeland toward the end of January is going to be bringing in a lot of people who are going to be declaring that very hope, right?
Amen. Again, Bill Federer, Ken Lindau, Dr. Larry Spargimino, Greg Patton, Larry Stamm, and myself. We're going to be preaching and teaching at the Central Florida Prophecy Conference, and that will, again, be at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida on January the 28th and the 29th. And there's information on that great conference at swrc.com. That's our website. It stands for Southwest Radio Church, swrc.com.
And you can find that and get all the information there. Lakeland is a drive that is reachable from all of our Shepherd cities, and we do hope that a lot of people are going to take advantage of this thing and come down to Lakeland and be a part of this great meeting. James, what's ahead for you in 2022 beyond that conference?
Well, I have a new book coming out, The 12. It's again, it's about the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to doing more writing, more traveling, more sharing the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. And we're looking for our radio program to continue to reach new listeners, get into new avenues. I'm actually working, I mentioned listening to Hal Lindsey earlier in an old broadcast. I'm actually working on a legacy. I don't know what to call it yet. We're going to call it SWRC Rewind or something. We're going to go back through the archives of the radio programs, and we're going to bring back some of the great people that we've had on through the years, and do it as a podcast. So
well,
I'll be hosting that podcast, and and we're working that as well.
How far back do you have actual archival audio?
We have some archival stuff going back to E.F. Weber back in the 1930s. I mean, we're missing a few things around the 70s. I don't know, reel-to-reel, I guess, back then didn't hold up as well, but we're still working to put that full library together and get all those programs out and available.
Well, that's exciting, and we'll look forward to hearing about that as that develops. James Collins, my guest today, staff evangelist, Southwest Radio Ministries. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your listeners.
And we'll look forward to seeing you in January. And friends, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd.